Welcome to the Blessed Hunt Podcast. I'm Reed.
This is Sebby.
Thanks for tuning back in, y'all. This is a little bit more of our laid back podcast. We're gonna read. We have a verse we always keep in front of mind, and I'm gonna read it real quick, and then Sebby and I are gonna give y'all a little update, and then we got some stories to tell, So Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, Sebby, what's been going on, bro?
I just got back from Tennessee.
Velvet hunt, baby.
Yeah. I hunted with two really good friends, and it was a blast. It was really hot. Like,
bro, did they not have the cold down there?
Like, no. No, it was, dude.
What was like?
I was average? Dripping sweat. It's like 85 degrees,
and humid, I mean, and humid.
And it was very mountainous, so yeah. we were hiking up and down. I mean, we were also taking advantage of that and, like, you know, carrying some gear up and batteries and just checking.
Yeah, good checking way to places. Make sure everything's working.
Yeah. We also took an e-bike.
Oh, for real?
But there was only one e-bike, and it was more of a test, really. Yeah. And, you know, a buddy used that just to kind of see if it would be worth it, because it's so mountainous over there. You're going up like big hills, you know,
bro.
But it was a great trip. We had a good time. I can tell you right now that I experienced God big time.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't kill anything. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. We saw a few deer. Obviously, for this hunt, it's velvet in Tennessee, early season, only archery, only bucks. So
wild.
Obviously, as it goes, we only saw does.
Of course.
And
I mean, what tactic were y'all trying to get on? Was there ag nearby, or y'all were hunting like acorns and natural browse? Or?
Yes, there was just funnels, ridges
as they were going to
hubs.
Feed,
yes,
as they're working to feed.
And there were some food plots out there, you know, some stuff for them to browse on and things like that. So there was.
We've had
a little bit of everything.
We've had so much rain this year; like, they have food.
Yes, everywhere. Everything's still really green,
everything
really thick.
So green.
Yeah.
Man.
It was just a matter of, I don't know. I mean, deer are really smart, and we just didn't have a chance to shoot a butt.
But buck if you could shoot, if you could shoot it, though, you would have had some chances.
Oh, yeah. I think we would have been able to kill a couple does or a few.
And sometimes, dude, like those does, if they hang around for a long time, they just end up busting you. You know what I mean? Like, they just figure out, they swing down. If they have any inclination at all, they're going to swing downwind.
Yeah.
And by the time you're in the tree, it's like, well, no, like, what are you going to do? You can't do anything. Like,
yeah, and the old mature does are, they're just so wise, man.
They're just like, so smart.
And not only are they smart and they're, like, really, like, on top of their game, but they also, they blow you out and they communicate with the rest of the herd to say, hey, stay back or go around for hey, let's get out of here. Sure, so I mean,
it plays a role,
man. They busted us.
I've even heard you know how they have the inner digital gland in their hoof?
Yeah.
Like, when they stomp, that's releasing scent to let the other deer know.
Communication.
It stinks.
Beautiful.
When you get,
no, I mean, it's awesome. You know, that's what makes it. You know, people think that you go out hunting and you're gonna kill.
Especially,
you're just killing like two or three deer. So, like, you come back, you're like, how many did you kill today? Well,
yeah,
I'm lucky if I saw one. You know,
my favorite is, did you catch anything today? No,
it's not like fishing.
Oh my, it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, well, so needless to say, I had a lot of time to pray and, you know, get into the word and things like that. So,
man,
this verse, actually, God spoke to me about this verse, and it's something that
on the first sit of the first
literally
time,
yeah
day one
literally almost like a I guess I was kind of like preoccupied or worried about the hunt, like the success, you know. And I'm going to Tennessee. I had just worked a lot.
Put money into it.
Leaving the family behind. Yep. I want to spend time with my kids and my wife, and here I am hunting, and so I'm worried because I feel like there's a self-imposed pressure to be successful, to kill something, to bring some meat home. And then God was like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Not only are you not going to see nothing, not only are you not going to shoot a fuzzy buck, as my buddy in Tennessee calls it, but let me just give you this verse right here and check you. Man. And so this is when this verse came to me, you know, and it was, and I'll read it, you know, since I'm talking about the story. This is, as I'm in Tennessee, sweating, waiting for a buck, frustrated, you know, a little stressed out because of everything that this took to do. And here I am reading this verse, okay? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that to me directly related to, hey, remember, I'm number one. Seek me first.
Yeah.
My altar, my seat, whether you're successful today or not, or you get a deer or not, or whatever happens, nothing else matters except me being number one. So it was and this happens to me pretty much every season, you know, where I purposely, intentionally have to say, hey, God, if you ask me to stop hunting, I will, because you're number one.
Right.
If you want me to give it up, you want me to lay it at the altar, I will. And I have before, because it's your altar. Hunting, the outdoors, jiu-jitsu, gym. Anything else, that is not my altar. You know, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle and allow that to start little by little becoming your altar, becoming an idol. But that's when you know, through the word and through being in constant communication and fellowship with God, he checks you.
Yeah.
And that trip was great for me, you know, for that.
What you just said there is funny, like the emotions that start to rise up in me, in myself, of just you saying I have to be willing to give up hunting if God called me to, right? So I'm sure people listening right now y'all probably thinking the same thing as me, and would I be willing to do that? And then you're thinking, God, please don't call me to do that. You know, but I think if y'all are like me, that's such a great reminder, and we need to check ourselves. If God does call, I'm not saying that he's going to, but we must be willing to do that, to drop everything for God if he calls us to. And as much as we love hunting or jiu-jitsu or our marriage or whatever it is, our kids, like all of it is for him. Number one, no matter what. So that, you know, like you just read there with 33, seek first the kingdom and the righteousness, and then the promise comes of what he'll give us. These things will be given to you. You know, it's not like a give and take thing. We can't work our way to heaven or, you know, anything like that. But as long as we seek him and we seek his kingdom, like everything's going to be the correct way. It'll be within his will. You know what I mean? Man, yeah, I want to encourage y'all, consider that, man. Like, think about, really, really dissect that in your mind. Okay, if God did call me to drop hunting, even for a day, like, what would I do? Probably be upset, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, but I mean, you know, we're not sugarcoating anything here on this podcast, because our number one objective in doing this podcast is not to have another hunting podcast, or not to do another podcast that is, you know, even going to give you anything that's going to be helpful for the actual act of hunting, right? You know, we will have some nuggets here and there, and that's great, but there's a lot of good podcasts about hunting already.
100%.
I mean, this right here specifically is about finding God, fellowshipping with God, you know, iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
Discipleship, brotherhood, sisterhood, all these things that are going to help us to seek God and seek his kingdom. So, you know, are we saying that everyone should do that? No. What I'm saying is the number one thing that is of importance here is Jesus and your standing, your relationship with him, you know. And Reed and I in our journey have both, I don't know if you've completely had to give up, but I know that God has, you know, asked Reed some serious questions about, what's important here, or just a reminder. I know that God has done that to me, and I actually have had to give up hunting. At one point, I thought forever, you know, but God allowed me to come back into hunting and to enjoy it again. But I feel like it was a test where God was saying, hey, is hunting more important than me? Because if it is, you got to give it up.
Right.
And I did give it up. I mean, to the point where I gave my bow away,
bro.
I gave it away.
I did not know that, dude. Yeah, when was that?
Oh, this was, let's see, probably like 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago.
You hadn't been hunting much before that.
No, I'd hunted. Well, I hadn't been successful, but I'd hunted. Maybe 2 years before that. Dang, I started hunting, and I was like super in and like excited, like putting the work in and doing all the things. But essentially,
so God asked me to give it up. When you felt that call, where did that happen? Were you out hunting? Were you trying to like, what got you to that point to be like, dude, I am 100% putting this over God, and God is now telling me, you gotta drop this because it's pulling you away from himself, you know?
Yeah. So I guess it's a little more complex than that. But so when I got out of the military, you know, one of my big focuses and what God had been dealing with me about was spending a lot more quality time with Kelsey and the kids. You know, I'd been deployed, I'd been on TDYs, so a lot of trainings and short missions and deployments. So I was gone a lot, and at some points I'd been gone more than not in you know, my kids' lives, and at the time they were little. So when I got out, the idea was to spend a lot of quality time, and you know, I had to choose between family, quality time, family, like I guess journey and hunting. And you know, in that verse, going back to Matthew 6:33, when it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his kingdom, his ministry, you know, one of our biggest callings, especially as a man, as a father, as a husband, is our families.
Yeah, that's our first ministry.
100%. And so I had to choose that. And not that it was, obviously, I'm not saying it like it was hard. It was easy to do, you know, but I had to choose to go all in on my family and get that ministry, you know, established and sorted out and really to a good place, and not share that with hunting. So I literally just put the bow in my case and put it in storage. Whew. And just like, didn't even shoot it.
Whoa.
You know, and it was hard to do because I love hunting and I love shooting.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it does a lot for me mentally, spiritually, but
you were using it almost like, you know, the wrong way, obviously, or whatever. It was taking over some of the things. So you're like, okay, I got to cut it off.
I had to refocus. I had to refocus and figure out my situation, because I needed to, in that season in life.
You took control. You then took the power away from it.
Yeah, I can give it up now. If God asked me to give it up now, if my family, like my wife and kids, if we needed to give that up, okay, bye. Maybe next year, maybe not. You know, this is coming from a diehard bow hunter.
Bro, I know, dude. I'm telling you, it's when you say that, like, I know I'm feeling this. I know the people listening to this are feeling this. Like, gosh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But, like,
see, God.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah. Really, if, like,
Don't put anything before God. So, right. I guess one of the things to do is, like, hey, if you... You know, put God first. Yeah,
if you feel like I am describing right now, those emotions are rising up in you. This is like a good note, especially you know, before season or even in the middle of season. Like, I think it's even for me, like that. You know, the ruts come in, or like end of October, pre-rut. Like that's when everything's building up. Like, dude, in the middle of that, it would be even harder. You know, like you got a big buck you're hunting or whatever, but we have to be willing to do it.
Yeah,
and God will bless it
100%
as well, especially, you know, and like what we were saying, that you took the power out of, like, the wind was taken out of the sail of that hunting having any power over you. Because when we think of hunting, it is a great thing. Like, there's hunting in the Bible a lot. You know, this is a gift to us, and we're supposed to be stewards, and it is a God thing. Like, hunting is, and we can do things for God, but it's not God. That's where the problem can arise.
Yeah. Man. Well, and I feel like too, it was a test in my journey in my relationship with God. And you know, as hard as it was, I feel like I passed the test. And
now, man.
You know, I'd like to think that.
Well, what I was going to ask you is like, what came after? You know, when you came back to hunting, what changed for you? Like,
yeah, so this was like now 2 years later, unexpectedly, due to my wife's mother's health,
we came
back to the area, and in our lives, you know, kind of like our life situation changed. So, you know, I think this is already like, I think the season had already started, and we relocated back to the area, and I felt that, you know, that I got the green light from God to get back into hunting. And at the time, I mean, this is like 2 full years later.
Wow.
And at the time, I didn't even have a bow anymore, because I had, had given up. Yeah. I had gifted my bow away. Ooh. And we didn't really have money for a bow, and I didn't have anywhere to shoot. Like, I had to basically start over, you know. I had just given everything away,
right?
You know, it kind of radical, but that's what I feel like in my journey with God, that was what God was asking of me. And so, man, I said, God, I'll give it to you. I don't care. No looking back. And so when it was time to get back into it, I didn't have a bow. Well, a good buddy of mine, Pat and Brody, both of them, really, they helped me to get back into it. Wow. And I remember I went to them for deer camp, and I was just literally gonna just hang out with them. You know, I was like, what a better way to get back into it, to just go out with the guys, just like, you know, hunt with them, and then maybe just like connect with them, you know, hang out, maybe film some of their hunts, just kind of do whatever. And then so I went, and they showed up with a bow, like, bro, completely decked out. And it was, I mean, literally, everything was ready to shoot.
Dude.
And, then I went with, so it was Pat's bow. And then I went with Brody to the shop, and we just shot a bunch, and, you know, just got it ready basically. And I was actually,
wow,
and then,
dude,
that year, it was great, dude. It was amazing. It was such a God thing, you know, but it was, I had just so much more appreciation for not only the hunt, but also like strength in my relationship with Jesus, you know, and how I related to hunters
now, you know?
So like now it wasn't just like, we're all hunters. Now I saw them as part of the journey, part of the kingdom, part of my calling, part of my purpose, you know? Bro. And so it changed everything for me. And I'm not saying you're going to have to give it up, and I'm not saying you have to give it up to experience this, but I think for me, that's what God asked of me, and that's why I am where I am today, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully you don't have to, you know, give it up, but
maybe hopefully you do.
or at least or at least or at least you're faced with a decision, or like if you know encounter that moment where you know that, hey, God is first. Hey, Jesus is first. Hey, my family is first. Hey,
I think
ministry is first. His kingdom and his business is first. And then I enjoy all this, and all this is, you know, great.
Bro, as you're telling the story, it literally was just the full circle moment of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. You gave it up. You gave up hunting because God called you to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. They were given back tenfold. Your friends gave you, like, that story and gave me chills, bro. Yeah, that's insane.
When I gave it up too, like, there was no like 2-year plan.
Yeah, you know, you're like, I don't know.
It was indefinitely.
Yeah.
And so I honestly, now looking back, now, and we didn't plan this, guys. So this is good. But now looking back,
man,
you know, I don't know how I did it, because I know how much I love it now and how much I enjoy it and how much success I've had and how many relationships and how much just life has taken place through hunting and how God has, like,
but that
ministered to me.
But it makes you wonder, though, like, it would have never happened if, you know, like we talked about earlier, if you just want and make things happen,
yeah,
and force it and make it happen, then you would admit, because, dude, like, if you look at the adverse, you were starting to maybe covet or idolize hunting, right? And then if you look, just, this is like theoretical, obviously, but like if you follow that down the road, you could have then been choosing hunting over your family, have issues with your kids, with your wife, like a divorce, like these, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Things could have gone bad.
We see that all the time, you know, like, thank God that he did encounter you then, you know, like, thank God that he doesn't give us what we want, because we don't know where
we don't know better. He knows better.
Yeah. And if you follow that, it's like, dude, and maybe it's not that like, that's obviously super extreme, but like, even if it pulls us 1 inch from them, you know, like, we have to check that, and we have the free will, we have the choice to make. Like, I struggled last year. Was I hunted almost 100 sits last year. Literally almost 100, dude. I want to say, like, I did not keep track. It was somewhere in the 88, between 8, it was, I don't believe it was over 100, but somewhere in the 80s, somewhere between 80 and 100 sits. I mean, that's including not 100 days, but 100 sits. So morning, evening, like, it started with, because Olivia and I were hunting together for the first time. My wife and I are hunting together, spending that time together because we don't have any kids yet. And it was amazing. I mean, we were really loving, like, it was growing us closer.
Sure.
Like, this is awesome. Like, I don't care if we kill anything. And for the first time, I started bringing my Bible with me to the stand and reading in the stand, and like, everything just was for him. And then as the season progressed, like, it really started in kind of November when the rut started rolling. Like, I kind of told my wife, I was like, October's yours, and then if you don't kill anything, then I'll, you know, because we love eating the meat, is like, that's the main reason and that we're doing this, and obviously love chasing big bucks too. But I had multiple situations, but what started happening is, like, on one of my permission pieces, these guys moved in on it and started hunting, started blowing deer out, and like, and that was very obviously happening. And then they put this big giant blind on the edge of a field, and one of them would sit up in the blind and the other one would sit in a bucket underneath the blind out in the open, like, just literally right where all the deer are coming from, like, coming right out of the bedding, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm getting upset about that. And then have a guy come in and put a camera on another piece, and we found his camera, and he set up camera on there, and like, ended up having literally a 200. That was the first picture that he got, because I ended up meeting the guy. And so he's moving in on that. Now I'm upset about that. like, why is this guy moving in on my spot? Like, whatever. And I share that spot with now my brother and another guy, and it's a fairly small piece. So I'm like getting upset about that. And then it just, dude, like it just started falling and falling and getting worse and worse. And cause I wasn't trying to kill a big buck. I wasn't trying to like, and then it started getting so bad. I'm like, okay, I'm going to shoot farther than what I really should to try to get a deer killed. Like all these rules that I had for myself, just started throwing them out the window. And like, what was interesting is the whole time I was still bringing my Bible and like still praying and trying to align myself with God. But through these situations with these people coming in on these spots and whatnot, I really was like coveting my time and hunting, right? Because it was like a distraction though of those things, but the actual root, those were just like symptoms. The root was I was putting hunting over a lot of things that were given to me by God in my life, but also putting them over my relationship with God, and it was driving like a wedge, and it was like I almost didn't even see it until it was too late.
Yeah, so very, very interesting to me, because I feel like, and of course I hunt a little bit more public than you, so this is like normal occurrence for me
for sure.
But you know, if you've hunted any amount of time, you can understand what you went through, because it's frustrating, it's annoying, it's, you know, because sometimes you work really hard to get to certain spots, you work the whole year to right. like maintain a property, you mow, you yeah, do food yeah, plots, yeah. You maintain, you cut, yes, you clean up, you all these things, right? Yep. So it's a lot. But you know, going back to kind of like the verse, and we can read, I can talk the specific verse that I'm thinking about right now in a second, but I feel like, and I had to deal with this in Tennessee,
yeah,
specifically, what we allow to influence how we feel and think is our master.
For sure.
So if you allow people, situations, weather, I mean, one of those bro. Times in Tennessee, I dropped my release.
Oh bro,
I got to the tree and I didn't have a release. So one of those times I'm literally just there,
you can't,
not for shooting, and it's too late, I'm already up on the tree. So but in those moments, ooh, when you're faced with these things that may or may not be in your control,
bro,
what are you going to do? Are you going to let these things be your master, or are you going to say, hey God, I have no control over this, even if I did and I messed up or whatever the situation is, like, am I still gonna be okay, or is this gonna rock me? Because if this rocks me, then that is my master
for sure.
And so, and I say that,
yeah,
not because I'm better than anyone, yeah, but I've had to deal with that too. For and sure. I deal with it.
Yeah, we're speaking from all experience. The time.
Yeah.
From
experience. So let me read. We're talking right now about Matthew 6:33-34, mm-hmm, but I'm going to backtrack just a little bit to Matthew. Let me find it real quick. Matthew 6, I believe it was 19.
Yeah, 19.
Pull it up. Here we go. 6:19. And it says, no, not 19. The specific one that I'm thinking about is
21 for where your heart.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. No one. So Matthew 6:24.
Oh, 24,
no one okay. can serve two masters. Yeah. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Yep.
And he's giving money as an example.
Yeah.
But the lesson here is that you cannot serve two masters, and whatever has influence on you, whatever you allow to change the way you feel, the way you think, the way yeah, like your direction or your purpose, that is your master.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You know, I think going back to Jesus being your number one, placing him first is like rock solid, and nothing else really matters. Even if I'm not successful, even if I don't get anything, like what matters here is Jesus and
number one.
Maybe he wants to teach you something through that situation. For sure. Or you know, there's a lot to learn from it.
For sure. Yeah. And I even had, so I, like I said, I had multiple situations, and there was even another one. This was late. Like this whole scenario kept going. Like I didn't, like I said, I almost didn't realize it, right? So in November, I hit a buck, lost it, and just was like crushed by that because that's the first one I've lost with a bow. And then like a week later, a week later, I had what would have been the biggest buck of my life at, I just could not get the shot off on him. Like, and he was in front of me for 20 minutes, like a mid 160 giant, and huge. couldn't get a shot on him. And then I hit another buck that decoyed in, and he heard the string and dropped and rolled, made a bad shot. Deer was totally fine. Didn't find him. And then the end of this, when I started to realize, I was like, okay, I believe I have an issue, you know? So I was hunting, this would have been, I have permission and on a place, and it's actually at my house, and there's somebody that used to have permission here as well, and they were in town and wanted to hunt again. I was then told that I was not to be hunting that day, that these other people were going to. And it, like, dude, I was so upset about it because I really want to hunt. And I find, like that was the breaking point for me. It was like, okay, why am I so upset? And I'm always preaching, we need to get people into hunting. We need to help others get into hunting. And then it was like, yeah, we can do all that, but if it actually encroaches on me, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm totally cool with other people. You know what I mean? It was like, I want to help others hunt, but just don't mess with my stuff. Right? And it got to the point, I'm like, okay. And this was the breaking point. So I finally realized, I was like, I am putting hunting way too much. Like, I'm putting it over what I, like, my morals of what I believe we need more hunters. I believe people need to be out in the woods and maybe not even hunting, but into the outdoors to find God there. And I actually ended up going hunting that night at another location and killing a deer that night and was blessed. But it was that I was thinking about it a lot while I was in the stand and came to the conclusion of I cannot be coveting hunting anymore and putting it number one, and then I kill a deer. Like, literally,
yeah,
you know, like within the hour. So
it's beautiful how God works. That is an amazing story, man, because I think, you know, as listening to it, it just seems like it was a big time in your journey with God because, you know, I'm not saying that God caused all these things to happen, but God is also opportunistic and he wants to teach us and show us more of his character, like, you know, get closer to us in all kinds of situations, even in situations that are like really messed up or that things that happen, like God wants to shine through and love on us and connect with us through that, right?
100%.
It just feels like it was like a test. And
I see now too, like, there was all these, I had multiple situations. I at any moment in time, if I, like we talked about getting what we need and not what we want, right? So I had, at the beginning of the season, I had a buck at 6 yards that was like a mid 128 point, would have been my biggest deer with a bow, really great 8 point, and he busted me and it didn't work out. Then I hit another really nice buck and didn't find it. Then I have a 160 in front of me, don't get the shot, don't get to kill him. Then, and I have these people moving in, and the whole time it's like I'm like stacking the idolizing and coveting over and over and over and over, and at any point in time, if I would have gotten what I wanted, I think it would have made me like fall even worse, to be truthful. I'm coming to this right now, in this very moment. I believe that God did not bless those things because of what would have fallen after, right? Like if I would have killed a 160, I would have then probably, because I hunt with a traditional bow, and like, you know how it is. If you kill a 160 with any bow, it's going to blow up. Like you're going to get a lot of, you know, a lot of love from people, and like, you're going to get uplifted, you know, you're going to get attention, right? So like, if I would have killed, and with a recurve, who knows? Like it could have went viral, and then the collapse of Reed, and I'm not sitting here right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then it didn't stop there. So then like, I missed another buck with my muzzleloader that would have been probably like a mid 140 9 point, like a giant. And what deer did I kill last year? Once I finally like the breakthrough happened, I killed a button buck and a doe, right? Like nothing to write home about. Still amazing. Like it was awesome.
Yeah.
And one of them I got to experience with my buddy, and it was a blessing. Like, but it, like I'm thinking about it now, I didn't get to kill this 160. I think it was the 140 or the buck, whatever it was. But God still blessed me with what I needed. He gave us enough meat. Like we're just almost out of meat for the year. Like gave us exactly what we needed. And it was a button buck and a doe instead of me killing deer of a lifetime that would have probably made me collapse.
Yeah.
Way worse. You know what I mean?
That's beautiful, man. Yeah.
So that being said, I just want to encourage anybody listening to like check your heart before season this year, or in the middle of season, you know, anytime that you would be listening to this right now, just check your heart, man. Be like, am I putting, cause I was in the middle of it, and
yeah, I mean, you're like already in the rut.
Yeah, dude. Like I was legit like in the middle of season, and these things were happening. And I truly believe that hunting is a good thing. And it was such a full like circle season for me. Like there was so much that happened in this season because of how much I was out in the woods. And by the end of season, like the very last sit of season in Ohio, which is the latest state I could hunt. Yeah. I got a text from a friend that invited me to a conference that I was prophesied by three men at that conference, at a outdoorsman conference. And that's what kickstarted this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, God will bless it. You know, if you seek him first and his kingdom first and his righteousness first, then he will bless it. It gives us a promise.
So doing hunting or really anything, anything that you like to do, anything, period.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference in doing it, putting God first and not. I mean, you can still be a believer,
yeah,
and you can still like love
which
the Lord.
Was, yeah, and I
right.
was.
So,
I
yeah, was. Right. You're yeah. not like, yeah. you know, an unbeliever or like a heathen or nothing crazy like that. But like there is a difference in actively, intentionally putting God first in yep. these things, right? And you know, not only because one, that's his place, right? He is, it's his halter, it's yeah. his seat. He is the king.
For sure.
But also like what you now value as success, bro. You know,
what are you doing it for?
Right. Are you getting something only if you hunt a big trophy, or are you enjoying the process? Are you helping others to learn? Are you connecting with your spouse? Are you prioritizing the right things, you know? And I'll tell you this, going back to the story that I told.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hunted for a couple of years before I had to give up hunting for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I did not kill anything back then,
bro.
And I'm not saying, wow. I mean, this may or may not be you. It was like this for me. When I came back to hunting, I had a different perspective. I mean, I've been a believer way before that. So this wasn't about like following Jesus. This was about intentionally putting God first and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Yep. Like Matthew 6:33 says, when I came back to hunting, now I was focused on the journey. I was focused on you know, and sharing it with others, and the success and the blessing that it was to hunt, and not putting those things as my altar. And since then, I've like consistently killed 3 to 4 deer every year. You know,
wow.
One, I would consider one decent buck, but mostly just good deer to, you know, feed my family, to enjoy my time out there, to share with others, and, you know, to continue to experience God and help others to get close to God too. And so that was a night and day moment for me, where like now I don't see hunting as hunting. I don't see hunting as just like, you know, another thing, like Jesus is first in everything that I do, you know, and if it's not, if I ever catch myself not putting God first, then I need to reassess.
100%.
And even if it means giving it up, because what's more important than hunting? Jesus is.
For sure.
My soul, my daily life, my forever after, my family, the people around me.
100%, dude. Yeah, I think I know that it's pretty easy for us to really idolize hunting, especially, you know, growing up, all my heroes were hunters. Like, I want to be like these guys. I killed giant deer. I want to do that. And, like, we must remember who put the deer here, you know, like, who put them there? What you're even able to do, the tree that you're climbing, who put that there? If we keep that front of mind, God will bless it. You know, the end of 33 is, and all these things will be given to you as well. It doesn't say all these things that you want will be given to you. You know, God makes us a promise. He'll give us what we need, and really nothing more. So if you're getting it, what you want, and pushing and getting what you want and it's not aligned with God's will, it should be something that we check and try to align. It's like, do I have what I need? All right, then great. I'm gonna praise you, God. Like, I praise you that you give me what I need and not what I want, because like I was saying with me, it would have been a downfall.
Yeah,
like, I can see it now, you know. But man, I think we finished there. That was great. I want to do something new on our podcast. We haven't finished with prayer before, but I really want to finish. I want to finish with prayer today. So
let's do it.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for us, and we'll close out. God Almighty, I pray over any ear that would hear the words that are coming out of Sebi and Maya's mouth, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be poured out to these people that are listening to us, and bless us, Lord. I pray that you just intervene and show anybody who is coveting hunting or the deer or putting anything over you, God. I just pray that you would just help us to see it, God, and allow us to see you and put you as number one. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all for listening. We pray that this would just bless y'all, and just keep front of mind what you're doing it for. Thanks for tuning in, and go shoot your bow. Jesus loves you. We'll catch y'all at the next one.
See ya.